get in some.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way I like to prepare for things like this is I have any number of things that, you know, it's like any direction. It's like whatever you want to do. I'm ready. Send me. Here I am. But, yeah, I know that, you know, I know these things that we've been reading about, you know, our identification in Christ are a thrill because it really does make the difference for us, you know, in our walk before God and recognizing our relationship to God now, you know, because we realize that it is not by our own work. We realize that it's not dependent upon that. You know, it's just dependent upon our hearts, you know, to come before God and be honest and open with Him. You know, that's why it says, you know, in 1 John, you know, I mean, come on, let's be honest. You think you don't sin? You're lying.
Yeah.
And God's lying too when He says that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So He's a liar and you're a liar. Okay, so, you know, but it's not that way. We know that we can live honestly before God. You know, and we can come to God and open our heart and go and talk freely with Him because He looks at us as His justified, righteous sons and daughters. You know, there's nothing He won't do for us. He's already proved that. He's already proved that there's nothing that He will not do for us. He gave His only Son for us so that we through Him could have life with God, with Him. And live this life as sons and daughters of God, having that relationship with Him. And so these things are just so, so real to me, and I know to you also, you know, that you just can't help but thrill and be thankful to God and humble before Him. You know, this is what brings great humility, you know, to the heart of man, is understanding the love and grace of God. That's what humbles us so much. You know, not you know, most people think of humility before God as these, you know, I'm like a little bug under God's foot. And I better just, you know, I better either be totally still or hurry up and scramble out from underneath it or I'm going to be crushed. You know, and if He doesn't crush me, I can sit there humbly before Him. You know, and that's just not it. You know, it's like the scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repent. The goodness of God. Not the fear of His wrath. You know, it says in Hebrews that now, you know, those of us who were all our lives afraid of death are free. We're free to live life now and not have a fear of that. Because we've already been judged as righteous before God. We're already seated on the right hand of God. The judgment's been pronounced already for us. Isn't that marvelous? And then some people say, oh, well, everybody's got to give an account to God. And they start waving their finger in your face. You can just see that finger working now. It's like, whoa! So then, you know, He died in vain then. If I still am going to be judged by my works and that determined my eternity, then He didn't do a blessed thing for me. His life wasn't the payment. See, but we have this. We have this. And that's what brings great humility to the heart of an individual. It's understanding that. That God really so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He did not demand their obedience and them lining themselves up. He gave His Son as that payment, as that price to buy us back out of that captivity that we have been held captive in for so long. And now we live free. We're free before God. We're His sons and daughters. Nothing can change that. Born again of incorruptible seed. All these things we have, and all these things live in us. Because Christ lives in us. All that he accomplished, all that he did, lives within us. And that's reality. That's who a believer really is. A believer is not the one who, you know, just talks and maybe hears, oh yeah, that's nice. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's nice. And never does. A believer begins to live his life this way. As a son or daughter of God. Developing that relationship with God. Getting to know your Heavenly Father. By way of the scriptures that declare His Son and Him. And that relationship that you have with Him. That personal relationship. We get to know Him. You know, before Christ, God was only known as the Creator, as Jehovah, Elohim, with His people, right? Elohim, the Hebrew word for God. And Jehovah is translated Lord, you know. And I wanted to look at that real quickly with you this morning. I looked at it this morning and I just thought, you know, I just have to share this with you guys as sort of a close. It has to do with the redemptive names of God. Because we've been talking about our redemption, the payment that's been made. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, there are names of God. Different Hebrew names, words that either describe God and certain attributes, or the name for Him Himself, which is the primary one is Elohim, God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created. This is God, the Creator. And then when God began His relationship with man, He became known as Jehovah. Jehovah, Elohim, right? So Jehovah is a word that in the Hebrew, it literally means the existing one. He exists, but He exists in relation with His people. And it actually comes from a Hebrew root word, which is to become. It's the Greek, the Hebrew word hoya, which is in that Genesis record, right? The earth became hoya, ho, you know, without form and void. It became that way. This is the root word of this name for God, Jehovah. Okay? So, in the meaning of this word Jehovah is that God, Elohim, becomes for His creation what He needs to become in order to bring blessing to them, in order to care for them. And in relationship to those things that we have in Christ and our redemption, Jehovah is used, the Hebrew word Jehovah is used with other Hebrew names or words. And these are referred to, the scholars, you know, the students of Scripture refer to these as the redemptive names of God. Yeah, just that's what they like to call them. And that's good. Because it has to do with our redemption. Okay? In Genesis, I want to go there. This is the first one. Okay? See, the main name for God is the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim in Hebrew. He is the one who exists in a covenant relationship with His people. Okay? When He begins to make agreements with His people, covenants, He is Jehovah. He is no longer just a creator. He now begins to have a relationship with His people. Okay? In Genesis 22, it gives us this first redemptive name. Genesis 22, verse 14. Not yet. Yeah. And so, 22, verse 14. This is with Abraham, right? Abraham called. This is when, you know, Abraham took Isaac, right? And was going to sacrifice him to God. Gee, Interesting. He's going to sacrifice him. So what does God do? God says, oh, stop. Okay, man, you're willing to do it all, aren't you? Well, all right. You're my man. Not only did you believe that promise, but now you're ready to give him back. Holy mackerel. Great man, that Abraham. Great faith. Which is why I guess he's the father of all who believe, right? So Abraham, after he supplies that verse 13, he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And you know, burnt offerings always represented a total submission to God and a desire to serve him. That's what burnt offerings meant. It had nothing to do with sin. It's not a sin offering, it's a burnt offering. It's an offering of commitment to God. Okay? That's what that's all about. And so Abraham called, verse 14, the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen or provided. Provided. And that Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. That's what the word Jireh means in Hebrew. The Lord will provide. Okay? He will provide. This first time that God is known or called something other than Jehovah Elohim or just Jehovah has to do with God providing what? A sacrifice. A sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. Look at John. Well, we don't have to look at it. You know this verse, John 3:16. We would all quote it, I'm sure. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jehovah provides. Jehovah Jireh. All right? Another one, if you look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verse 26. Exodus 15. This is after Israel comes out of Egypt, and you know, they had come across the sea, and they came to this place called Marah. They couldn't drink the water. In verse 23, it says, "Right, the people murmur against Moses. So what are we going to drink then, Moses?" And you know, he cries unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Verse 25, when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. They were cleaned. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in the sight, in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you know that we too have healing. We have healing. This is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah that heals. The Lord that heals. See? He heals the water so that they can drink. He heals them, and He will continue to heal them. If we remember 1 Peter, right? He gave Himself for our sins on the tree, right? And by His stripes, we were healed. We were healed. In Christ, we have our healing. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands before you whole. And on of records of healing. Right? Jesus Christ, by your faith, you've been made whole. It's your faith that made you whole. All things are possible to him that believes. You know, Jehovah, Rapha, God the healer, the Lord who heals you. Right? In Exodus 17, they were in the midst of a battle. Exodus 17, verse 15. <clears throat> Verse 11, it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. I can't hold this thing up there much longer. Come on. And they took a stone, they put it under him, and he sat down. Here, have a seat. We got to keep your arms up somehow. Right? He's holding up the rod, right? And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. You better include this in your book. All right? It's got to be in your book there, Moses. You know, the book we're going to write? It's like that ghostwriter. Right? Who was Moses' ghostwriter? God Almighty. Jehovah Elohim. Okay, so he says, write this in a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, or Jehovah our banner. Literally, it could be rendered refuge, right? Or banner, because he protected. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's literally the banner or the canopy, the cover. Like, he will cover you in battle. This is the sense of this name for Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah is my banner, or my refuge, my protection. Okay? In Romans, what are we said to be? More than conquerors in any situation. More than conquerors. Did they conquer Amalek that day? They discomfited that bunch. To borrow an old English word. We don't use that much, but it's a cool word, isn't it? Discomfort. They made them very uncomfortable. Look at Exodus 31. Here's another one. Exodus 31:13. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep. My Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Jehovah Mekadishkem, the Lord that sanctifies. Jehovah who sanctifies you. How does he sanctify you? He sanctifies you by giving you rest. The Sabbaths you're going to keep because I am the Lord that sanctifies you. You'll keep my Sabbath. You know, it says in Hebrews that we're to enter into his rest because he is the one. Jehovah is the one who has set us apart, not for war, not for battle, not for working, but for resting in him. Resting in him. 1 Corinthians, look at 1 Corinthians 1. It says in verse 30, but of him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's all that Christ was for us. He was a total display of the wisdom of God. He was our payment for our righteousness and our sanctification, so that we now can rest. Can rest. That's what sanctification really means. It's to set apart, yes, but it's to set apart away from the work into the rest. I'm sanctified. I no longer am held under this obligation to work before God for my reward. But I rest in him. This is Jehovah. Jehovah Mekadishkem. Jehovah who sanctifies you. Look at Judges 6. Judges 6. And verse 24. Remember old Gideon? Verse 22, it says, when Gideon perceived that this guy he was talking to was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face, I know I'm cool now." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace unto you, fear not, thou shalt not die." Remember the story with Gideon. It's like, you know, he puts his fleece out, you know. "You sure you want me to go up against these guys? If you're going to be with me, I need some encouragement here. So I'm going to put my fleece out, and you're going to have some dew on the fleece and not on the ground, okay?" God does that for him. Then he puts his fleece out again. "Oh, okay, this time I want the dew on the ground and not on the fleece." God does that for him. Oh, Gideon needed a little encouragement. Well, then the angel says to him, "Hey, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. You're not going to die." And the Lord said unto him, "You're not going to die. Fear not. Peace unto you. Fear not. Thou shalt not die." Then verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah my peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abba Ezrites. Ezrites. Right? Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. The Lord our peace. You know, no more conflict now. You know, we are at peace with God. Right? The results of our justification. Right? We're at peace with Him. Right? Like we read it in Romans chapter 5. And it's more than there, that's for sure. In Jeremiah 23, we read this morning. "Behold," verse 5, "the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, Jehovah, our righteousness, Jehovah Tzidkenu," in the Hebrew. Jehovah Tzidkenu. He is our righteousness. Right? We find our righteousness because of what God has given to us. He is our righteousness through his Son, Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 48. Ezekiel 48. And in verse 35, the very last verse in Ezekiel, it says, "And it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord is There." Jehovah is there. Jehovah is present. It's Jehovah Shema. Jehovah is present. He's constantly present. Where we dwell, He is constantly present. If we look at Psalm 23, these seven, there were seven names there that use that combination of Hebrew words with Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will provide, the Lord will provide. He provided that sacrifice. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah that heals, the Lord who heals. He healed the waters and He promised to heal them as they continued to look to Him. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah is my banner or my canopy. He is our protection in battle against our enemies. He has given us the victory. In Exodus we read, He's Jehovah Mekadishkem, Jehovah who sanctifies you, who sets you apart to rest with Him. To rest with Him. And Shalom, Jehovah Shalom, He is our peace. Jehovah Tzidkenu, He is our righteousness. Jehovah, our righteousness. And then the seventh one, Jehovah Shammah, He is there. Jehovah is there. He is present in that city. In Psalm, which is a psalm that is very familiar to so many, many people. Psalm 23. He is Jehovah Ra'ah, Jehovah my shepherd. We all know this. Most of us could probably recite it from memory. And within this great psalm, there are all these other seven attributes combined. All these wonderful attributes of the grace and mercy of God shown by these Jehovah names are all included in this wonderful Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah. I shall not want. Why? Because He is Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Verse 2, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, because Jehovah is our peace. Jehovah Shalom. He restores my soul. He leads me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul because He is Jehovah who heals me. Jehovah Rapha. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, because He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, because He is Jehovah Shammah, He is present with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, because He is Jehovah Nissi. He is my canopy, my protection in the face of mine enemies. He sets for me a table of victory in front of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over, because He is the one who sanctifies. He is Jehovah Mekadishkem. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because He is present there. And we are of the household of God. We now have all of these things, all of these great attributes of the willingness of God to redeem, Him providing for us, Him making us righteous, not us making ourselves, Him sanctifying us so that we can rest in Him, Him providing for us so that we can have peace, we can dwell in peace, Him healing us and restoring us when we need it. This is all part of our redemption that we have in Christ. All of these things we have in Christ, it's clearly and fully declared. And in Ephesians, if you'll look at Ephesians, in verse 19, it says, Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19. You're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, that chief cornerstone, that which everything is built upon and referenced to, the cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Where does God dwell? In us and among us at all times. He is ever present. He is ever present to provide, to heal, to sanctify, to give us rest. He is ever present to assure our peace, to protect us against our enemies, and to provide all that we need for all time. He is our Father. Because of these great things that Christ accomplished and brought into reality for us when God raised him from the dead, ascended him, seated him, now this great Jehovah Elohim, who was so many different things for his people over the ages and throughout the history of his dealings with people, is no longer just Jehovah Elohim. He is not just Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. He is not just Jehovah Midkadesh Kem. He is not Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Ra'ah. He is all those things in one word, Father. So, Father, we're thankful for your grace. Thankful for being there for us and having accomplished such great a redemption for each of us in your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for having raised him from the dead so that there is no question left for anyone that he indeed was who you sent him to be. And thank you that we have now all these things just simply because you are a God who is filled with mercy and grace and can't help but shed that forth to all of us. Thank you. Words cannot express our gratitude in the things that you have done for us, Father. We can only show you by turning our hearts to you and keeping our hearts turned to you and endeavoring to walk for you and speak for you as you give us opportunity. Thankful for all that we have to look forward to because of your wonderful Son, our Lord, Messiah, our Christ. And it's in his name that we thank you. Amen.